You know, let's go ahead and do this. You know, tonight, I personally, I'm really excited to be up in the house today. I'm excited about the word we have today. So I want you guys to get your Bibles out. Let's get into this today. I know we just finished up our last series, Rumors, Lies, and Half-Truths. So I thought it turned out pretty darn good. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been doing my best not to spread any rumors, although it's been tempting sometimes. I've been keeping myself from the tasty morsels. And I'm looking forward to what's coming up next. You know, today we're going to get into the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. Like the Holy who? Not the Holy Spirit we're going to talk about tonight. You don't know much about it. The Holy Spirit, we're gonna jump into it tonight. So I'm really personally excited about this, something we haven't talked about in a little bit. So let's go ahead and do this. Let's go ahead and pray, and we're gonna get into things tonight. So Father God, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the truth of who you are and what you want to do in us. So God, tonight I pray, Father God, as we sit in this place, God, we wouldn't just be spectators, but God, we would get ourselves into the game. God, that we would become people, Father, who are consumed by you. God, people who are filled by you. God, that we would be people, Father God, who leave this place changed, living a life that resembles the life of Jesus Christ. So God, that we pray tonight, God, that you would take us to the place we need to be, God. So Father, we surrender ourselves to you, God. Lord, we ask that you would teach us as only you can. God, that this book would become more than a book, but God, it would become life to us. So Spirit, teach us tonight. And God, as we pray these things, we don't just pray them for ourselves, but Father God, we pray, Father, for each and every other youth ministry in the Inland Empire and around the world, Father God. Lord, whether it's Emmanuel Baptist or Trinity, Father God, whether it's Ecclesia out in San Bernardino, Father God, Father, whether it's the Grove, the River, Father God, wherever they are, Father, they're talking about you, Jesus. God, we ask that you'd bless them just as you blessed us in this place, God, because Father, we're all on the same team, getting young people to know who you are and what you want to do in their lives. So Father, thank you for allowing us to be in ministry with these other great ministries, Father God. We pray these things, Father God. Lord, also, Father, we pray over each and every person, Father God, out in San Bernardino, all our seniors, Father God, whether it's G or Cajon or wherever, Lord God, that you bless them as they graduate this evening, this week, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to minister to and through these kind of people, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, pray. And everybody said, amen. Tonight, all right, we're going to do this tonight. So tonight, like I said, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, I guess if you're taking notes, because I know you are, tonight, if you were to put a title on this message, we're talking about the Spirit to overcome, to overcome the things in your life. Now, I've been a Christian. I've been in church, you know, about 16 years. I know. That's like a long time. I've been doing this for about 16 years, and I got saved. I gave my heart to the Lord right in between my 8th and 9th grade year, right when I was going from junior high to senior high. I was invited to church, you know. Some of you guys, a lot of you guys have heard my story before and stuff. And that's when I decided to walk to the front. That's when I got my hand up. That's when I prayed a prayer. Now that was a long time ago. You know, that was back when I was 14 turning on. Well, I 14 going to 15, you know, and I was just a wee one back then, although I did have a mustache, but I was still a wee one. And it's kind of funny because, you know, I look back and I think, okay, what was my walk with God like? Because I didn't know anything about God. When I gave my heart to Jesus, I didn't know anything. I grew up in a denomination where I remember when I was part of this, you know, we would go like 2 times a year, Christmas and Easter, and then we watched like King of Kings or like Ten Commandments on like Easter and stuff like that. Or we watched like Midnight Mass. Anybody ever watch Midnight Mass? No? No? Thank you. Wow. You're hardcore. but we would watch the Pope on TV and stuff like that. And that's the way I grew up in church. You know, and I didn't know anything about anything. I thought Jesus lived in California and had blue eyes. You know, that's kind of what it turned out. That was like my theology right there. And I didn't understand anything about the Bible. It was weird or strange. When I grew up, the Bible was this really big white book with gold letters, and on the front of it was a 3D holographic picture of the Last Supper. So if you like turned it, it's like Jesus is like, you know, in the Last Supper, and nobody opened it, nobody looked at it, you know, nobody wrote in it, nobody did anything to it. It's just a big book that stood on top of a pedestal in my house, and that was what it was. So when I started going to church, like to actually go to church, you know, at the Rock 16 years ago, everything was really different to me. It's like, whoa, people stand up when they play the music. Whoa, people clap when they play the music. Whoa, you know, people shout at the preacher every once in a while. Come on, amen, holla at your boy, what up? All right, you know, and it was very different to me. And then my life slowly began to change every once in a while. And you know, I began to understand a little here and a little there. And, you know, I got my grandma's old little red Bible that I began to tag in and stuff like that. And then slowly but surely, you know, my life began to change. But I don't know if you guys, you know, I don't know if you guys sitting in here can, maybe, I don't know if you guys relate to this, but I remember my life wasn't very different. I felt like there was a lot of things that I used to do that I kept on doing. And you ever feel like, you know, every week you mess up and you do something stupid. You're like, gosh, why did I do that? You know, why did I do that? And it was really difficult for me sometimes to change because I knew I wanted to change, but it was hard for me to change. I had this girlfriend and, you know, let's just say things weren't always very Christ-like, you know what I'm saying? And I just wasn't able to kind of break that barrier. I mean, you ever felt like you see where you want to go, but it just seems like you're just one foot away from grabbing the goal that you have in front of you. It's almost like it's torture. You see it, it's within reach almost, but you just can't get there. And that's kind of like what my walk was like. That's kind of what my walk with God was like. I was saved. I was going to heaven. I knew who Jesus was finally, and my life was beginning to change, but it just wasn't where I wanted it to be. If you look at the Bible, you know, the Bible's cut in half. You got the New Testament, you got the Old Testament. New Testament with Jesus, the Old Testament before Jesus. And before Jesus, the Bible talks about people who had a relationship with God. It talks about things, and it says the Holy Spirit. It says the Spirit of God. It says it would come upon them, that it would come upon them. It would rest on them. And then when you look at the New Testament, it kind of begins to use different vocabulary. You see, one day I went to summer camp. Right before summer camp, they were offering prayer up at the front of the church. So I went and I got prayer, and I was prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you know, it was a prayer to have God's power in my life. And when that happened, all of a sudden something changed in my life. I was going to heaven before that. I knew who Jesus was before that. You know, I had a relationship with God. But something changed in my life when that happened. Soon after that, I went to camp. I went to summer camp. And at summer camp, something else changed in my life. You know, it wasn't just the competitions. It wasn't just the bad food, especially the eggs that they mixed out of powder. No, don't play that game. You go to camp, don't play that game unless you're a brave woman or man with the powdered eggs. That would get you in the end, literally. So I went to camp, and all of a sudden, you know, something clicked on the inside of me, and I heard God begin to speak to me in a very clear way. It wasn't like all of a sudden, you know, the skies parted and I heard it in my ear, but I began to hear and feel and sense God doing things in my life. And then I remember God telling me specifically something. I remember he told me to break up with my girlfriend. And I was like, dang, it is true. I was like, oh, okay. Except I didn't listen to him. And then about 6 months later, I was like, oh yeah, maybe I need to. So I did, finally. And it was a good thing. And all of a sudden, my entire spiritual life began to skyrocket. And it wasn't just because of the girl, you know, that was part of it. But my life began to blow up, all because of something that happened inside of me. Because I understood the Holy Spirit and what God had for me. You see, all of a sudden, that thing, that place I wanted to be, that was just inches away, that the goals and the visions God had spoken to me, and the place I wanted to be in my walk with God, all of a sudden, I was there. I wasn't perfect, but I was there. And it felt like all of a sudden, you know, somebody had taken my life from black and white to color, you know. It was from 2D to 3D in my life, and it wasn't like nothing weird. I don't like float or anything like that. All of a sudden, you know, nothing weird in my life really happened. But it just seems like somebody turned on the lights in my life when those things began to happen in my life, when I asked God for His fullness. It's almost like somebody turned a switch on when I had experienced what I experienced at summer camp, when people began to pray for me. All of a sudden, you know, when I had finally listened to God, what He told me to do, all of a sudden, you know, it's almost like that my life had gone from this to this, you know, and it began to change. And that's because of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Rachel, what are you really talking about? in the Old Testament, back then before Jesus came and died, the Bible would tell us that the Holy Spirit came upon, or the Spirit of God came upon somebody. Well, you see, in the New Testament, when Jesus died, something changed. God's dealings with people was different. See, back then, sin was a problem. You know, we were singing a song, "Holy," right? Holy means God. That holy means that God is set apart. That means God is holy. That means he's like when you buy that white Hanes undershirt. You know what I'm saying? It's white. No stains on it. You don't get a pit stains. There's like no, like, you know what I'm saying? You guys are there too. You know, when you wear white, it gets all nasty and stuff. That's right. Thank you. I'm not the only one. You didn't spill no spaghetti on it. You know, I mean, it's, you know, your little brother or sister didn't put their nasty paws on. I mean, it's completely white. It's untouched in a sense. You know, and that's like, God is holy. He's pure. No sin, no nothing. And here we come. All messed up, rolling in the mud. Here we come. We're like the little brother or sister with like peanut butter and jelly all over their hands. And God, you know, and we can't touch it. So there was a barrier. Well, all of a sudden, Jesus dies, you know, goes to the cross, into the tomb, raises again. And all of a sudden, you know, it's as if God takes our peanut buttery hands and washes and cleanses. And we're just like another white shirt. We're holy. We're made, you know. And all of a sudden, something, you know, happened. In the New Testament, something happened when Jesus died and rose again. You know, the Bible begins to talk about something different. It says now, no longer is the Holy Spirit on us, but he says the Holy Spirit's in us. You know, it says that God went from a relationship from here to here, me and you, to here. You know, the Bible says that you and I were the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says we're the house of the Holy Spirit. And what do you do with the house? You live in it. I mean, it's not much of a house if you have to sleep outside. I mean, even a dog has a dog house, dog sleeps inside the house. And if you're called the house of the Holy Spirit, that means God desires not just to be, hey, what's up, you know, hey, high fives, you know, this and daps, you know. God desires to be living so close in your life that he's actually in, he's a part of every piece of it. You know, 1 John 4:4, the Bible says this, 1 John 4:4, it says, "You're of God, little children. And you've overcome them." Who's them? That's the world. That's the, you know, the Satan. That's all all the issues, the problems, the habits, the hang-ups that you have. That's the them. The little t them is all the garbage of the world. It says you're of God, little children, and it says you've overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. It says he who is in you is greater. He who is in, capital H, if that's what your Bible says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That means that God desires, God's assuming, if you call yourself a Christian, if you say you know Jesus, then God's assumption is that he lives in you and you live in him. That's more than just a, hey, what's up, relationship. That's more, that's something deeper. Now you see, in my life, back when I was a teenager, you know, when I first got started off, I didn't know much about God, and when we were still kind of getting to know each other, you know what I'm saying? I didn't really understand the Bible, I didn't really do this. And, you know, I would read things, and it just seemed like it was in another language. You ever read the Bible, and it's like thinking, what is this saying? Because I don't get it. You know, you feel like, Pastor Richard, sometimes when you say it, I kind of get it. But when I go home and I open it, no. Especially the old, you know, you get around Deuteronomy. I don't even know how to say that word. You know what I'm saying? It's just, no begetting for me. Okay? And that's where I was. And then I took my relationship with God to another level. Because you see, what happened was this, is I believe it's with everybody's walk with God. It's kind of like there's two phases. You know what I'm saying? You give your heart to the Lord. You call yourself a Christian. You get saved. And I feel like there's like these two steps in a person's life to where you kind of like, you're cool with God. Call yourself a Christian. I go to this church most of the time. You know, I might read my Bible every once in a while. I might even bring people to church, you know, and you're cool with God. But then there comes a place in your life, you know, you're saved. But then there comes a point in your life where you go from just being saved, hey, I'm going to heaven, to where you go and you hit this place in your life where you become dedicated. Does that make sense? To where you go, to where God is upon you, to where God is in you, to where all of a sudden you just don't go to church, but you are the church. To where it's not just, hey, this is something I do. No. This is who I am. I am this. This is not just. I mean, when they say check your religion, you're just like beep, beep, Christian, beep, 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 fill it in all the way, really, really dark, because you know, no. This is not just a checkbox. This is a part of the very deepest core of who I am. And I think there's a lot of people who are stuck in that first phase where it's like, I am satisfied with going to heaven. I just don't want to go to hell because it seems really hot. I don't like the sweat, okay? That's just what it is. People with pitchforks, and it probably smells really bad. You know, I just want to go there. To where we go to this place, to where I just don't want to go to hell, to where all of a sudden, you know, we become not just, hey, I want to go to heaven, but all of a sudden our lives go from being a person who's just trying to avoid bad things to a person who really believes what they believe, a person who all of a sudden, his life has been so transformed to where something clicks on the inside of them, to where we say, the things that the disciples said, we say, you know what? There's no other place I could even imagine going, because this is the only place, the only person, the only way that I see any hope in my life is through Jesus Christ. To where you're just saved, to where you're dedicated, to where you begin to fall madly, deeply in love with God, to where things become difficult in your life and it's not even an option to quit. Because what else would you do if you were to quit? Which other way would you turn? Which other philosophy could you embrace? Whatever hope else is there out there? You see, that's what happened in my life. In the period of that month or two in my life. When that old couple, they were old, they prayed for me. To that camp, to that decision I made over that time was this acceleration in my life. And it wasn't because I was going to be a pastor one day. It wasn't because one day I was going to preach to you one day. It has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a minister. But everything to do with the fact that I went from just being saved to being dedicated in my life with God. Because I understood something, that God didn't want to just be upon me. God didn't want to be around me. God didn't want to be my best friend. He wanted to be my everything. And when I went to that, from God just being a friend of mine, from God being the one who keeps me out of hell, to where God became my everything. That's when things began to change. I began to open up the Bible and I was like, oh my gosh, has that always been there? Really? Did somebody change this? Is there tape? This page wasn't in there before, was it? You know, all of a sudden things begin to change where it's like I begin to pray and prayer wasn't burdensome anymore. All of a sudden it was as if all of a sudden, you know, there was something different in my life. You see, 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. See, the problem sometimes is we can be saved and you can be a Christian, but see, your heart and the inside of you still kind of belongs to somebody. It belongs to a boyfriend, or it belongs to the world. It belongs to this relationship. It belongs to this friend. It belongs to this habit. And we're more dedicated to some other things, but we're trying to hold on to God at the same time. And there's this tugging and pulling. And we want to be good. We want to go to heaven. And we haven't yet made that cut off to where it's like, all right, God, I'm really, really, really serious here. And that's where we need to get to in our life. And it happened when it happened. It happened when I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Nothing weird, nothing strange. That's what it was. You see, the Holy Spirit is God here with us. That's when we say God's presence is here. When a person says, you know, I felt like God spoke to me. Or when a person says, you know, when a person says these things, you know, maybe sometimes if you're like, oh, I got the goosebumps. Ooh, you know that song. You know, you've been there before, you know. Not just because you were listening to John Mayer or something different, you know what I'm saying? But when you're like, whoa, what was that? You know, in your church, or you're reading your word, or you know, whatever, you're praying. It's the Holy Spirit. That's God with us today. You know, Jesus said, look, I gotta go. Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. Okay, he's alive. You know, he died, he rose again, he's in heaven. God the Father is in heaven. But the Holy Spirit's here on earth. Jesus said, I'm going, I got to go. He said, but I'm leaving the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one who will teach you here. And that's how God is here and there and with me and with you and with her and with him and with and that country and this country. The Holy Spirit's in this place today. And you see, the Holy Spirit has a job to reveal and to empower your life. You don't understand the Bible? That's the Holy Spirit's job to reveal to you. You don't know how to get over that issue, that sin, that habit, that addiction. You don't know how to get through and get over that relationship, that hurt, that pain. You don't know how to forgive that person. That's the Holy Spirit's job to empower you. And until you ask God, until you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, until you get God, the revealer and the empowerer in your life, you will always see that place you want to go, and it'll just be out of your reach. Because it's not until you ask God to be a part of that place in your life that you stop doing things on your own and you start doing things with God. Because whenever you try to do things on your own, it'll always be out of reach. Fixing things between you and your parents, always out of reach. Until making it through high school with a higher than a 2.0, hey, always going to be out of reach. Until. Hey, getting through and over things, always be out of reach until. You have the Holy Spirit, the revealer and the empowerer in your life. And that's what happened in my life. That's how things began to change. You see, the Holy Spirit, God, not the it, not the force. It's not like, may the force be with you, the Holy Spirit. No. The Holy Spirit's not a force. It's not an it or the Holy Spirit, God himself. When God lives on the inside of you, when you tap into who God is and everything he has for you, he gives you the ability, the power to understand things as you never did before. Pastor Richard, you're talking about superhero stuff? No, not really. No. I'm just talking about the light. The light's getting turned on spiritually. See, look at this. You're a spiritual person, whether you believe it or not. I don't care if you're an atheist. You can be an atheist, but you're still a spiritual person because God created you, and the real you is a spirit. You have this body. That's you. That's your body. I mean, sure, you're cute. You're handsome. You fly, you know. I mean, you look good, brother. All right, you know. But that's just your flesh. And you're real smart, and you're intelligent, and you can think really good, and you can rationalize and imagine things. I mean, that's why that's why you're as fantastic as you are, because you got a soul, your mind, your abilities. But the real you, the part of you that yearns and hurts and has deep joy, that's your spirit. And that spirit, that part of you, your heart, that's what connects with God. And that's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And you see, God's spirit connects with your spirit. And when you come to church and you understand things, when you come into church and you worship God and all of a sudden you feel a little bit different, you go from depressed to, hey, I'm doing all right now, that's when God touches and connects with your spirit and all of a sudden he begins to change you from the inside out. That's the part of you that before you knew Jesus was dead. But when you decide to give your heart to God, the part of you that comes alive again, that's your spirit. And when you invite God, not just to save you, not just to, hey, get me out of hell, not just, hey, you know, I want you to make my life nice and pretty and wonderful and give me all these wonderful good things. When you go to that place to where you're just saved, to where you're dedicated to the things of God, all of a sudden God begins to live in you and he lights your spirit on fire. And, you know, when you begin to get into these things, when you begin to pray, things begin to change. Why? Because he gives you the ability, he begins to reveal things to you. It's funny, you know, it's funny because faith and science are really, really pretty much almost the same thing. Now I know that's really strange and a lot of people say they're opposites and they don't work together, but faith and science are really almost the same thing. They're both, it's true. See, faith and science are the pursuit of revelation. Science wants to reveal physical things. Atoms, nucleuses, the stars, the sky, plants, genuses, the human genome. See, they're not creating anything. They're just discovering. It's always been there, always has been. Ever since the beginning of time, those laws have been there. They've been the same. And science is trying to reveal them. They're trying to pull back the curtains and say, what's behind this? What's out? What's further out into space? What's deeper down into these little things? And faith is the exact same. Faith is looking for the revelation of who God is. Science looks for the physical that's already there. And faith looks for the spiritual that's always there. Because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I find out something about God, it's not because God did something new. It's just because he's always been doing it. I just realized it. And when in your walk with God, you're trying to peel back the layers of stupidity that we have. We're trying to peel back the hurts and the pains and say, all right, God, what do you have in my life now? God, you have this future for me. The Bible says God already has plans for you. God has your future laid out. God has your 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80-year plan laid out. Faith is trying to figure out and peel back the layers. God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to, you know, what about this person? How do I deal with my mom? God, how do I deal with 10th grade? What about 11th grade? I don't really know about 12th grade. You know, well, you know, God, why did this happen to me? And faith is searching for the answers behind those things. You see, if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, he's the one who begins to peel back those layers. He takes the bag off of things. He begins to take off the gift wrapping of the present God's given you. And he shows you the things in your life. You see, that's the way we need to be. Is someone who says, God, reveal to me today. Show me what you need me to do. John 16:13 says this. Go ahead and put it up there. John 16:13, not 1 John, but the Gospel of John 16:13 says this. It says, however, when he, capital H, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you. What? He will guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. You see, God knows what's going on. God's not stupid. God's not a dummy. But he knows what's going on. And the Holy Spirit's job in your life and in my life is to tell you the truth, is to reveal the dark things that we didn't know, the reasons why things happen. You know, and more than that, the things to do when things happen. He's the one who wants to show you who you are. Because look, you have been created to be a specific way. And sometimes we get confused by the things people tell us, what this world says about us. But if you go to God and you say, God, why do I do this? God, why do I feel this way? God, why do I always do this dumb thing? God, the Holy Spirit will come into your life and he'll peel back the layers and show you how to change your life. He'll show you how to make decisions. God will show you the right things and the wrong things to do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's job in your life is to reveal into your life the way things are, the way things are supposed to be, and how to get from here to here. Because oftentimes the way things are in our life are not the way things are supposed to be. You know that. The things are jacked up in your life. The arguments and the fights you get, that's the way things are. But God will show you how to get to the place that things are the way they're supposed to be. And it only happens if you have the Holy Spirit in your life to reveal to you. Without it, you're in the dark. Without it, you're trying to figure this out on your own. Without it, you're trying to read and you don't know why some letters in your Bible are black and why some letters are red. You don't know who this person or that person is. But all of a sudden, when you get the Holy Spirit active, when you go from being around God to God being in you and you in God, all of a sudden, your eyes are opened. You've got to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 2:10, go ahead and put it up there. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but God has revealed them, what are those his secrets, to us through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things. Yes, even the deep things of God. Look, everybody knows. You saw the t-shirt. You saw the banners, the signs, the bumper stickers. Jesus loves you. Yeah, he loves you. I know that. You know that. Jesus is my homeboy. You know, you know that. I know that. We all know that. But what about the deep things of God? What about if God is so good, how come people suffer? How about what am I supposed to do when I don't know who my dad is? How about the deeper things? How about the nitty gritty? If God says you know don't do this, but is it okay if I, you know, those are the deeper things of God. Those require the Holy Spirit to be a part of your life. And if you don't have answers for these questions, then I would encourage you to go from just being saved to being dedicated to the things of God, to asking God. Bible says all you got to do is ask, and he'll give it to you. All you have to do is ask, and he'll give you the things you need. If you don't know, then ask. You need to listen. You need to pray, and you need to seek him. You see, I began to get my first taste when I went to that camp. I began to get my first taste when I had that old couple pray for me. And I heard God's voice, but I didn't listen. And when I finally listened to what God was telling me, my life went off like a rocket. And he took me to places I never thought I'd go, to do things I never thought I'd do, to say things I never thought I'd say. All because I began to listen and pray and seek for what he said. Look, if the Holy Spirit's job is to teach you, then you need to listen to him. The Holy Spirit's job is to teach you and to reveal to you, then you need to pay attention. Instead of asking your friends for advice, ask God first and then go to your friends. See if they line up. When you're really PO'd, and instead of just blowing up on Facebook like I see people do sometimes, and you know, it's like Facebook becomes like the bathroom wall. It becomes a place where you just emotionally vomit everywhere, you know? It happens sometimes. I see people do it on their blogs, and people do it on Twitter, and people do it all over the place. It's just disgusting sometimes to watch. It's like, seriously, you want to tell people that? You know, before you do that, before you gush and just emotionally vomit all over your friends, take it to God. And ask him to reveal something to you. And he will. It says, the Spirit searches all things. He knows about your life. Even the deep things of God. That's what we need to do. That's where we need to go. Because he'll give you the ability to understand. You see, in Acts 2nd chapter, I'm not going to turn to a verse there. But in Acts 2nd chapter, all of a sudden what happened is the disciples, Jesus died, he rose again. And they're like, well, what do we do now? And Jesus said, hey, wait. He said, wait. Don't do anything until you get the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything until you experience, until you see what I have for you. He said, wait, and you'll know when you're supposed to do something. And as soon as the Holy Spirit fell, as soon as the Holy Spirit got in them and they got in God, all of a sudden what happened is their life began to change. Peter, who was a nervous wreck, Peter, who was denying Jesus, Peter, who was scared and he was beat up and he was just afraid. His knees would knock. All of a sudden what happened is he got up and he preached the first sermon in the New Testament and in the book of Acts for the church, and thousands of people got saved all because he had the Holy Spirit transform his life. You see, the Holy Spirit is here to reveal and to empower your life. He gives you the power to change. You know, the habits and issues that I was stuck on, that I knew I needed to change, all of a sudden when I listened to the Holy Spirit, I didn't have those issues anymore. I stopped doing things that I had been doing for years before. My whole life began to change. All of a sudden, I was set free. I was released from the way of thinking that I was before. I was set free from issues and habits and problems that I had that I had struggled with for years. All of a sudden, you know, insecurities began to peel away in my life because God began to transform my life. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, but we all with unveiled face behold at the mirror the glory of God. It says, here's what I want you to look into. It says, we are being transformed into the same image of God. We're being transformed into the image of Jesus from glory to glory as by the Spirit of God. See, God wants to transform your life. God wants to take the chains that have been put on us over years of doing stupid things, over things people have said to us, over expectations put onto us by people who had no right and no reason to put over expectations. God wants to take the hurts and the pains of our past, and he wants to transform you into a person that resembles Jesus Christ. He wants you to go not from bad to good. God wants you to go from glory to glory. That's good to gooder to gooderest, okay? That's a place that God wants you to go from. Because truth be told is you're already made in the image of God, so you can just stop hating yourself right now. So God wants you to go from glory to glory, from good to gooder. And that's a place God wants you to be. So you go from looking like Jesus to, hey, looking even more like Jesus in your life. But it only happens by what the Spirit of God, who wants to transform your life. One of the big things that God wants to do, one of the big things that the Holy Spirit does is he tells you when you do something stupid. It's true. Holy Spirit's job is to convict people. You know, when you feel bad you did something, hey, that means you're doing okay. If you do something that you know you shouldn't have, or you do something and it's wrong and you feel bad about it, hey, that means that you're probably a Christian. It means you're probably saved. It's when you could do stupid things and do dumb things and you don't feel bad about it, that's when you got problems. That's when you got to check yourself, because you may very well be dead. Spiritually, that is. But in your life, If you find yourself thinking, gosh, you know, I can't really listen to those words anymore. I can't really mess around like this. I can't really, the drive for me to cheat or the drive for me to talk back to my parents or the drive for me to miss this and to not do that, all of a sudden it's not the way it used to be. It used to be fun, but it's not anymore. That means the Holy Spirit's speaking and working in your life. He's transforming you from the inside out. You know, one of the jobs is this. The Holy Spirit is to change your life. The Bible says that nobody comes to Jesus unless the Holy Spirit calls him. You know, tonight somebody in this place is being called. Somebody in this place is being called by the Holy Spirit. If you're in this place and you've been messing with God, God's going to call you out right now. If you're in this place and you know that you've been walking away from God instead of to God, God's calling you out right now. If you're in this place and you're thinking, is he talking to me? Well, I don't know, I probably am right now. Maybe your heart's beginning to beat a little bit faster. You're thinking, if right now, if you're in this place and you're beginning to think about, man, I should have done this. I'm talking to you because the Holy Spirit's convicting you right now. If you're in this place and you just know that you're far from God, I'm talking to you right now. I'm not asking if you go to church because you're obviously here today. I'm not asking if you grew up in church. Hey, because that's cool, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not asking if your parents grew up in church. I'm not even asking if you believe in Jesus, because that's cool. But if you only believe in Jesus with this, you're not going to make it. You're not saved. Look, if you're in this place, I want to talk to you. I want to ask, are you going to heaven?